Your time is cost. I think many entrepreneurs tend to think about their labor as free and tend to think about their labor as cost zero. But the truth is, if we are billing our clients, we are not billing them $0.
Welcome to Elevate and Expand, a podcast where entrepreneurs just like you can find the community, guidance, and accountability needed to grow your business without working around the clock. As an entrepreneur, you're responsible for pretty much everything. But that does not mean you have to figure out everything on your own. In each episode, you'll discover practical frameworks and shortcuts that will eliminate confusion and boost your revenue. You'll also be motivated and inspired by hearing stories from other entrepreneurs who are on the same journey as you. I'm your host, Terry Rice, biz dev consultant and staff writer at Entrepreneur Magazine. Let's jump into today's episode. Sarah B. Lal is in the business of creating a better future of work, whether it be remote, hybrid, or in person. She's worked across sectors to create strong workplace communities that center on belonging and learning, coaching thousands of job seekers, entrepreneurs, small business owners, and teams to help them create a better future of work. Outside of work, she's a parent to an adventurous, curious tween and a partner to her better half. To feed her creativity, she can be found traveling, exploring food markets, cooking, and most importantly, eating. And here are our top takeaways from today's episode. First, how to find fractional staff members if you're not ready for a full-time hire or even part-time. Second, building trust with new team members in their first month, which is crucial. And lastly, the one mindset piece that could be holding you back from expanding your team. And now I'm going to answer a question from an audience member. If you'd like to submit your own question, you can do so at terryrice.co/elevate. That's terryrice.co/elevate. This question is from Pinda C. Howell.
Terry, how could I simplify and streamline an onboarding process for new employees? I'm a new business, 3 years in, with no onboarding process right now, but I need to develop one. What's your best advice for doing that?
Hey, Pinda and everyone listening, I feel like I'm an expert on bad onboardings because I've had so many, but fortunately, that means I know exactly what you shouldn't and should do to onboard people correctly. And look, I'm going to start with the easy answer. Ask your existing team. Just ask them what they would have preferred when they first started. This is the best way to get bespoke guidance on your specific situation. But for you and everyone else listening, here are some additional general guidelines. The first is pre-arrival setup. Let them complete all necessary paperwork electronically, and then beyond that, set up any necessary technology and access before their first day of work. So any tools they need to do their job, have that set up in the first place. Beyond that, have a clear structure for their first day. It's going to include orientation, introductions, and an overview of company cultures as well as policies. But also give them time to relax too, like don't overdo it and overwhelm them on their first day. Next up, centralized resource hub. Provide access to a digital repository with all the essential information, such as HR documents, training materials, and team directories. And also, make it clear they don't have to go through all of this on day one. And then lastly, ongoing support and feedback. You want to schedule regular check-ins for the first few months to offer support, gather feedback, and adjust onboarding as needed. And like I said earlier, that feedback is going to be a gift. That's how you'll find exactly what you should do to set your team up for success. So I hope this helps. So, Serby, one reason I'm glad to have you here today is because I took way too long to find a virtual assistant. I was cheap. I was unsure how I would use someone. And instead of doing that and just moving forward, I found myself doing a lot of tedious tasks that just weren't worth my time or my talent. And I remember when it hit me, there was a time when I was trying to create a proposal for a client, and they wanted all the sheets in this PDF to be vertical, except they wanted just one to be horizontal. And I spent forever trying to figure out how to make one sheet in a PDF vertical when the rest were horizontal. After 3 hours, I just went on Fiverr and hired someone, and half an hour and $10 later, they gave it to me. And that's when I realized, look, there are certain things that I'm just not good at and don't make sense for me to be good at. I need to find help. So I wish we had this conversation 8 years ago, but I'm glad we're having it now. But do you mind just introducing yourself before we hop into it?
Absolutely. My name is Serby, and I work with all different kinds of businesses to make their life better and to make their teams better. And for small businesses, I think one of the things that people really, really worry about is if I'm making my first hire, do they have to be full-time? And so I love your introduction because you're talking about not necessarily hiring someone full-time. You're talking about hiring somebody fractionally, right? A virtual assistant who might work a few hours a week for you or 10 hours a month for you. They're still adding to your team and adding to your capacity. So it doesn't have to be a full-time hire. And no matter who you're hiring, and this is the bulk of the work that I do, you want them to feel like they're part of your team. And you as a business owner really need to help facilitate that. So it's one thing to send something out to Fiverr and say, I have this discrete task, you know, make my one page horizontal in a deck of things that are vertical. But it's quite another to have somebody that you're going to be working with for a long period of time and who understands your business.
Yeah. So let's get into that, because I was talking to a friend of mine and she's like, you know, I hired this virtual assistant, but I don't know what they're doing. I'm not sure, you know, what I'm paying them for. You know, I don't know if this is even worth it. And I asked her, I'm like, well, what tasks did you assign to her? And she's like, nothing. And I was like, well, that's probably where you're messing up, right? So what are a few things we should do before we even hire someone? Like, how do we get ready to bring someone on in this case?
Yeah. You know, I think that so much of this is about delegating. And I know I'm guessing for you, and this certainly is true for me, when you start your business, you're doing everything. You are the one who is, if you have to package something out and send it to a client, you're doing that. You're the person who is sending invoices. You're the person who is responding to emails. You're doing all of it. And so then you get to a point like you got to, as you were talking about, where you thought, you know what, this is not the best. Now I have a little bit of maybe capacity to pay somebody to take some of those tasks off of my desk. But how do I let go, right? Mm-hmm. And two, what are those things that I feel like I can give someone? So I think some of it is thinking for yourself as a business owner, what are those tasks that I want to give somebody? And maybe more importantly, what are those tasks that feel really close to me that I really I'm not sure that I feel good about giving. And so one might be, what are those things that just are not where your talents are? You know, if you are somebody who does a number of decks, say, to present to someone, maybe you want to do the content, but you don't want to do the design. Or maybe you really want to do the design and you already have a ton of content. So, you know, and you need somebody to copyright, maybe you can have somebody do some of the copywriting. But it's really thinking about what are those tasks that you feel like you can't let go of, and what are the tasks that you feel like you can. And I think that work starts with yourself.
I'd agree, just because, I mean, I'm somewhat of a perfectionist, but what is perfection anyways, right? I mean, I might think this is great. Someone else is going to think it's not so great. So who am I to say that someone working for me didn't do a better job than I did? And I think it starts with that trust, right? Saying, look, I'm not perfect. I have to find someone to help me. And if not, I'm never going to scale. And I think it helps to look at even like corporations as an example, right? You know, so it's like, you know, Walmart was started by an individual, but that person wasn't like, you know, running the cashier and, you know, like stocking the shelves and all that stuff. Eventually they had to let go if they wanted to grow. And it's the same for all of us. And I think the benefits of growth aren't just for your business, it's your personal life too. I mean, since I have a team, I can go to the gym 5 days a week. I don't have to like rush when I'm picking up my kids after school. So even just like that personal side of it, there's a huge benefit once you get used to letting go and delegating.
Yeah. And I think too, the other piece is making sure, you know, once you have somebody, and maybe we'll get there, but once you have someone, being really clear about what your expectations are. So if you are somebody who really wants someone to, say they're answering some of your email, right? This is a task that a lot of virtual assistants might take on, which is monitoring your inbox. If you know that your goal as a business owner is to get back to somebody within 2 business days, please tell your virtual assistant that so that they also know that. Make sure that they are scheduled so that they can check that box every other day so that you're within that time frame. So I think the other thing to think about besides the tasks is, now that I have my set of tasks, how do I like those done? And am I ready to communicate that to someone? Because if I hire you, which, you know, is kind of this fantasy sort of scenario that we're in, right? I hire you to be my virtual assistant, and I don't tell you that I want you to email my clients back within 2 days, and you are thinking, well, I'll do it in 3 days. We're already going to have a problem, And I, as the business owner who's just let go of this trust, I'm going to be like, I'm going to take that right back. And I don't want to hire anyone again. So I think it's really, really important to be clear about what are your non-negotiables with who you're hiring. So that's true for a virtual assistant, a fractional person, or a full-time person. What are your non-negotiables? And then where are the places that you can play? Because like you said, sometimes people do things so much better than you would have even imagined because they're working in their genius, which may be different than your genius.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that because like I don't make my own decks. I always have, you know, someone else do it. But I'm not creative whatsoever. So who am I to judge? Like, I can't do better, but that ain't right. You know what I mean? It's like let people play in their lane and stay out of the way. And another thing is if I'm working with someone, if I have a fractional team member or a VA and they mess up, I assume it's my fault. So if you just take 100% responsibility, you'll delegate and document better. You won't start pointing fingers. It's a lot easier just to be responsible for things as opposed to, you know, getting upset that the other person didn't read your mind accurately because that's clearly not possible. But I don't want to get too far ahead to managing someone. How do we actually find people to work for our team? Again, it could be a fractional employee. It could be, you know, a virtual assistant. Like, how do you recommend finding and vetting individuals as well?
So I would say first thing is ask around. So if you have entrepreneur friends, ask them if they use someone. What has been their experience? So I think word of mouth is a great way. You have a business, you have a friend who has their own business, you're in a group of entrepreneurs, you have founders, great, ask. Do you use a virtual assistant? Who have you used? Why do you like them? What are some of the things that you were looking for? So if the things that you were looking for and the things that I was looking for match up, then we're in good shape, right? If what you're looking for, what I'm looking for are really different, then I might think, oh, I got to ask a couple of other people. You can, of course, do a web search. There's tons and tons of you'll get more hits than you know what to do with if you do a web search around virtual assistants or fractional folks. But I think asking around is a really great place to start because then you can start to talk to people. And you can also, just in terms of what the market has, there are people who do this as this is their entrepreneurial venture. They're a fractional person for so many people. You can work with companies that have a cadre of people. So when I was hiring for the virtual assistants that I work with, I knew that I wanted a company because I knew that if, for example, people have lives, their lives change, and if somebody needed to step out of that role, I had support to find someone else because I didn't want that to have to be my job. Other people have like somebody they met, they had good chemistry with them, they're hiring them. So there's lots of ways to find somebody. I think it's important to ask people you know, it's important to do your research, it's important to see what reviews say, but also as you start to meet those folks, ask some good questions during the process. How'd you find your person?
Yeah, I was going to mention that. And I recommend everyone try this. So what I did is I put up a story on Instagram and a post on LinkedIn saying, hey, everyone, as you may know, I'm a biz dev consultant helping entrepreneurs do XYZ, and I'm looking for help. Do you know of anyone who would be a good virtual assistant for these tasks? And the reason why I'm saying that is because I want everyone listening to try this because you now have an excuse to advertise your business. Hey, everyone, just so you know, I provide this service. If you want it, please buy it. And I'm looking for some help, so on and so forth. So it's like, I have a business. I might be able to help you. And by the way, I'm clearly successful. I'm thriving because I'm hiring. So there's a dual benefit. You're promoting your business and your success, and you're also finding someone to help you. So that's how I found my team. And you're right. I mean, having that automatic trust is so crucial because then you're not like second guessing things and, you know, worrying if they, you know what they're actually doing or not. But even with other people that I've hired, again, through platforms like Fiverr, what I like to do is I'll ask three people to do the exact same task. And yes, I will pay them because I want to see the quality of their work, not through testimonials or examples, like no real stuff that you did for me. I want to see that. And yes, I'm triple paying for it, but at least I know I'm more confident in the decision that I made.
Love that. I love the idea of hiring, you know, paying triple because in some ways it's an investment because my guess is the person who does the best job is somebody you might go to the next time around. So you're not going to pay three times for the next. And you might find somebody who's a really good match for something that you want to do. I think at the end of the day, it's also about what that small business owner can take on. So if you are somebody who is like, great, I'm going to try someone and see if they work because that's all I have capacity for and I can't do a bunch of interviews or I can't take on a lot of people, that's fine. But if you are that person who really thinks I need a really good chemistry match for the work that I need a thought partner for the work, then you have to hire for that too. So much of that is knowing what it is that you are looking for in terms of help. So for example, the folks that I work with help me with some of my creative pieces. They help me with graphics. And it also takes time. So I would say it takes time for them to get to know you. It takes time for you to get to know them. And then also for you to feel loose enough to talk to somebody. So give yourself that time. I don't know anybody who's had an immediate match in the first person that they have come to or in the first month that they've worked with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's stick with that though. I mean, let's stick with the first month. How do you set your team up for success through onboarding, through training? Like what is through documentation? Like what does that look like?
I'm a big fan of regular meetings. So I meet with my team once a week and we go through all of the things that are on our agenda. We have updates, you know, who's working on this? What are the updates that you have? What are the things that are coming up next? And it feels really tempting to want to sometimes cancel a meeting like that, right? You're busy. You have all the things that you want to do. But I find that the weeks that we've missed a meeting, I feel two times behind than the weeks that I've kept it, and even if I've had to squeeze it in. So you have someone starting, I would say your first meeting is orient them to your business. They should know what you do. They should be able to talk about the work that you do, and you have to help them understand that work. You want to tell them how you work. If there are systems you use, you know, Slack, Monday, email, Excel sheets, whatever system you have, and different people have different systems, and at different stages of your business, you're likely to have different systems as well. But tell them what system they use and ask them what systems they use. They may have one that already works for them, especially if you don't have a system. Like if you don't have a system and they have one that works, great. Maybe you both try that out. And then I think really transparently, what are your non-negotiables, right? So if it's the response time, if it's something in your branding always needs to be there and don't touch it, make sure it's in everything I send out, all of that. So I think those things happen in the onboarding call. And then I would say start small with some smaller tasks and start ramping up. So that way you're able to see what's working for the two of you and what isn't. And I would even say start with the tasks that are not make or break, right? So something that you are then learning together what works and what doesn't. Hopefully people are hitting it out of the park and that people are, you know, doing great work from the outset. But anytime somebody comes on, assume that there's a learning curve. I think that's just human nature, that we have a learning curve. So giving a little bit of space for that in the first month is great. So you might have to be more hands-on in the first month, and then you're going to start to step back.
Yeah, I think the issue some people run into is they're like, oh, it'll take me longer to explain it than it will for me to do it myself. And it's like, you're going to end up doing it yourself for the rest of your life if you don't explain it. But on my end, I'm pretty horrible at explaining things. I'll say, okay, yeah, step one is this, step eight is this, step 24. People are like, yo, where's the rest? So what I like to do is I'll just create a video. Like I'll use a tool called Loom, L-O-O-M, and say, hey, my goal is to do this. Here's how you do it, so on and so forth. And as you'll notice, I said, I'll mention what the goal is. Sometimes people just ask for what they want done, but not why. But when I tell my team why I'm asking them to do something, they'll often come back with a better way of accomplishing the same goal. So again, you don't want order takers, you want thought partners, but they can't give you good feedback if you're not explaining the why behind the what. So just really being more patient, I think, is pretty important.
Yeah, I think that's the reason it's important for them to know your business too and what's important to you, what are your values for your business, because some of that is the why. Like, why is this important? Why is this connected to the business? Why am I excited about this? Why do I want you to care about it? All of those things are really, really important.
Let's dig in more to like motivating your team? Because I mean, I've had regular jobs before, right? Like I was making like $5 an hour, you know, working at a restaurant, and like no matter how hard I worked, I was still making $5 an hour. So there's no incentive to do a really good job. It's just like whatever. So on my team, I try to find examples or opportunities to give my team some kind of bonus. So if I have a last minute request, which I hate doing, I'll say, hey, look, no pressure, but if you can get it done by Friday, I'll give you an extra, like, whatever, $100 or something. Or if they're doing a really great job and help me get a contract renewed, I will give a portion of the revenue that I generate from the contract, because I want you to feel like you have skin in the game, that you have agency, and you're also an entrepreneur. So why would you want your revenue capped? I want to help you do that stuff as well. So I think the more we're willing to reward our team and give them true motivation, the better. And even to the point where, again, on my team, I'll say, hey, look, if there's something you want to learn, a course you want to take or whatever it is to do a better job at your job, go for it. I will pay for it. You can bill me for the hours that you're in class, whatever it is. But I want you to feel like you can grow here. I'm not just like, again, asking you to rotate PDFs and stuff like that all day long.
I love those as compensation. And for people who can't do that, you know, a lot of business owners can't do that up front. The easiest thing that you can do that most people don't do is recognize somebody for their work specifically. So let somebody know that their work mattered. Here's why it mattered. And here's how you genuinely appreciate it and how it's helped your business. You would be surprised how, I mean, it sounds very simple, right? But people do not do it. People do not say thank you. People do not appreciate their team verbally, sending them a card, whatever it is. But that level of thanks makes a huge difference. And again, time after time and survey after survey, a lot of employees, whether they are fractional employees or full-time employees, say they don't feel respected and valued as a member of the team. And so it isn't, hey, thanks, you know, thanks for the work you did. It is really specifically calling out something. And I think the other piece, which you alluded to, is where are the places if you can't necessarily pay someone more, as which I think is amazing for folks who do that. But there are some business owners who can't because their margins are really small. Thinking about ways that you can help people stretch in their own line of work. So, you know, what is it if you're a graphic designer, for example, what is something you're working on that we could work on together that's going to help you and help me? If you're a writer, if there's something you want to put in your portfolio, if you want to learn something, you were talking about business development, right? Can somebody come on a business development call with you because they want to learn that, but they've never had exposure to it? I think that's another way to show appreciation because you're invested in their growth. So one is the appreciation and just really recognizing work. And the other is ways to stretch and ways to let people show their capacity that they might not have had an opportunity to do before.
Yeah, and I'll have to thank my wife, Dominique, for the showing appreciation, because she always reminds me, like, you got to thank your team. You have to reward them. You have to, like, send them coffee or something like that, because I don't natively think about things like that. So I'm lucky to have her as a partner in telling me these things. But you know, you gave a lot of great advice, great tips on how we can be successful. But I know there's still someone out there listening who's like, that all sounds good, but I can't afford this. It seems too complicated. Like, I'm not at that stage yet. What would you say to that individual?
So I'd say two things. One, if you want to get to that stage, what would it take for you to do that in the next 3 months? So is there a contract that needs to come in? Is there a piece of business that needs to come in? So that you make that a goal, right? It's really easy to say, I can't do that right now, so I'm not going to do it, full stop. And it's a different mindset to say, I can't do that right now, but I'd really like to get there in 3 or 6 months. So I'm going to plan for that to happen. Right. So in this 3 to 6 months, maybe I'm going to do what you did, you know, start asking around. Maybe I make a post. Maybe I make a post that says, I think I'll be ready to grow and I'd love to talk to 3 people who have virtual assistants or fractional staff to find out how I can do this well. So you're really putting the wheels into motion for that to happen at a future point. So that's one. The other is something like Fiverr is way more discreet. Upwork, Fiverr, right? All of these places are a little bit more discreet in terms of tasks. So it may not be that you're ready to bring someone on long term, but you need somebody in a pinch to do something. And then the last piece is your time is cost. So think about what you bill at to your clients if you bill on an hourly rate. So We tend to think, I think many entrepreneurs tend to think about their labor as free and tend to think about their labor as cost zero. But the truth is, if we are billing our clients, we are not billing them $0. I'm not billing them $0, yeah. Right? And when you look at what your cost is versus somebody else's cost, you might find out that actually you can afford it because mm-hmm. you're going to bill at a different rate. And then the last is really about your own wellness and peace of mind. So, you know, you were talking about being able to run 5 days a week and that's something you're able to get out and do, partially because you have team members who help you. So there are costs other than the actual, you know, what you're sending out for cost that you're still incurring by not hiring someone. But again, if you look at your numbers and say this isn't for right now, think about what it could take to get there.
I love painting the picture or creating the path for how you get there. That's brilliant. So, Serbi, this has been amazing. I do appreciate you and your time and your wisdom. And I know some of our listeners are going to want to learn more from you. So what's the best way for them to reach out?
Well, they can find me on my website. It's www.serbihilal.com. I hope that we can get that in writing somewhere so folks can get the actual digits. But I would love to talk to people about their small businesses. I actually am so bullish on small businesses and entrepreneurs. I think that we have an opportunity to create cultures in a way that a lot of large organizations can't. So I think it is our advantage to do that.
Every episode, we're going to end with a next step. So you can walk away from our time together with one concrete action item to help build your business faster and with less confusion. So here's your next step for this week. Take 10 minutes and do an audit of how you're spending your time. When you're working, where is your time going? When is the last time you got stuck? What tasks pull your time and energy away from your core purpose? Those are the tasks that you need to outsource. And once you've finished your audit, share your findings over in the Small Business Digital Ready Slack community. If you're not already a member yet, you can join for free at digitalready.verizonwireless.com. And after you sign up, just click that community tab, then follow the prompts to join the Slack community. I look forward to seeing you over there and hearing what task you plan to outsource so you can free up your time and increase your revenue. And that's it for today. For show notes and information about our guest, visit terryrice.co/elevate. This podcast is presented by Verizon Small Business Digital Ready, a free community that offers courses, mentorship, networking, and grants created just for small businesses. To join the platform, visit digitalready.verizonwireless.com. That's digitalready.verizonwireless.com. And hey, if you found value in this episode, help us spread the word to other entrepreneurs by subscribing and leaving a review. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch up with you next time.